Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, wait a minute. I tuned in to listen to predictably drunk smart people talking about stupid things, but I don't hear the music. I don't hear the sweet sounds of Ross Baker doing his intro. Where's Matt to curse out people, and where's Sam to be sexy as hell? Well, first of all, relax. It's not that important. It's just a podcast. Second of all, we're about to get to predictably drunk, but where you are right now is in a commercial. That's right. You're trapped inside of a commercial. And why are you trapped inside of a commercial? Because Predictably Drunk, the podcast, now has sponsorship, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to talk to you about Amazon.com. Yes, that Amazon.com. They're now a partner here with Predictably Drunk. And now when you go to PredictablyDrunk.com and click on the Amazon.com link, it takes you right to Amazon.com and you can do all of your shopping like you always did. So all that stuff you want to buy for your beer, the beer steins, the beer glasses, the beer goggles, you can get at Amazon.com. And you can get there by going to PredictablyDrunk.com and clicking on the link. No hidden fees, no extra charges, just as simple as doing one extra click, helps out the show, keeps us free. So why not be a pal, be a good drinking buddy by clicking on the link at PredictablyDrunk.com and going to Amazon.com for all your shopping needs. Oh, and with that being said, here's the sexy, wonderful, lovely Ross Baker for the intro that you were waiting for.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
You know, Ross Baker, Matt, was actually in the San Francisco Bay Area not too long ago. Once again, Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Sam Marcoux, Matt Somerville, freshly,
hello.
Fresh father, fresh out of the oven.
I didn't come out of the oven. My child did. I have a kid now. I've had a kid. I never know when this shit airs. Like, when is this supposed to? When is now supposed to be?
So we're actually recording this on a Sunday night. Late July. I will be putting this out a couple days from now. So this is
great.
Right now is right now.
Right now, he is over a month old, and it's been a while since I've been here. It's cool, I guess. You know, it's a baby. He's alive still, so that's good.
But let's get to the important stuff first. So Ross Baker was in the Bay
right,
Area.
That's more. Yeah,
we'll get
Ross
to your Baker. Kid in a second, but there's a format we have to follow.
Too.
And
yeah.
You know, usually what you do, Matt, is you hit your most important topics first,
sure,
and then you cascade down from there. So
it's been a while. It's been a while since I podcasted. My bad.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're a little rusty. That's fine. It happens. So Ross Baker.
Fucking Baker.
Yeah, he actually kind of like messages me out of nowhere, and I don't recognize the number or anything. And he's like, "Hey, it's Ross Baker," and I'm like, "Who? Who is this?" And he's like, "It's Ross Baker, the announcer for your podcast, Predictably Drunk." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, hey, I'm like, what do you want? You know?"
Don't ever call me.
Yeah. I was like, did I forget to pay you for the last one? Because I don't think I agreed to pay you at all, but he was in town actually in San Francisco, and it was kind of nice. He called me or he texted me to find out what were the best blues and jazz bars in the city. He valued my opinion, Matt. I was
such a fucking weird question.
It is kind of a weird question because, like, first of all, I don't know the answer to that. Second of all, who the fuck
why would
goes
he
to
think
a blues?
You? Why would of all people would you know where a blues and jazz bar is?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, we are on one of the most popular drinking podcasts on the internet, so I think people just assume that we know everything, which is nice. Thank you, people.
Well, swell of them, but no, not true. Many things we don't know, and one of them amongst many is the location of quote-unquote good blues and jazz bars.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I didn't know jazz was still an art form that was in existence. Blues, yes, I know that's out there, but like, I don't know where to send anybody in San Francisco. I mean, like, I had to Google like blues bars, and I just sent him a bunch, and he's like, "Well, I don't even think that one's around anymore." I'm like, "I don't know, man. The internet fucking told me it
what
was."
What the fuck do you know? You don't even live in San Francisco, yeah. Ross Baker.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, Ross Baker lives in Reno, so what does he know?
Download Yelp, Ross Baker. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Download Yelp. But all that aside, Ross Baker, it was nice talking to you. Thank you for thinking of us when
you're
here
right
in the Bay Area. Now, on to slightly, I guess, more important news, and that is the child of Matt.
Can I go now?
Yes, you can go now. We've got the Ross Baker stuff out of the way.
Well, the blues and the jazz story, that was fucking number one. Now I can go. Now it's my turn.
By the way, you can go to predictablydrunk.com and click on the Amazon.com link and do all of your normal shopping at Amazon.com and help out the show at the same time. No hidden fees, no extra costs. Amazon.com by way of predictablydrunk.com. Okay, Matt,
I'm going to go there to shop for new fucking friends.
I think you could buy that on Amazon, actually.
Yeah, probably. There's just about anything on there. Yeah, I don't know. I think I already said things.
So the kid's about a month old. You mentioned that you leave it in the oven or something along those lines, which I would recommend a crib, but, you know, what do I know?
Right. Everybody's well, you're a father, good. So
I am I've a father.
I'll follow your advice to an extent, because I also know you as a human being.
Yeah, my kid bit like three other children this weekend, so I don't know if I'm exactly killing it in the father game.
Wow. Well, you could say that that's a good thing. You really are killing it in the father game if she's biting folk.
Well, then like the other parents got upset, so naturally I bit them because bit they were them. Attacking my child verbally, and I just figured that's how you handle things in this family, apparently.
And then you threw her up on your shoulders like Master Blaster from Mad Max and just went to fucking town in the public park.
I'm not sure I've ever seen the original Mad Max, so I will.
Oh, sorry. Mad Max and Thunderdome. It's the third one with Tina Turner. If you haven't seen the first one, you most certainly have not seen the third one.
Maybe that's what I meant to say. You are correct. I don't know the reference, but I will default to you because you are Hollywood's insider living down in Hollywood with a new child. So far, first impressions of a kid. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Are you looking for the gift receipt? What's going on with the child in your life here?
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously two sides of the coin, people who have had kids and people who have not. People who have had kids know that having a kid can really suck. It can just really suck. And for those of you who have never had a child before, you don't know that yet. You might be able to assume that, but I fortunately still don't know that. I don't know the perils of certain things that other people have had to go through, basically, you know, with the fucking jaundice and the colic.
The kid's got jaundice and colic. Is that what I'm
hearing? No, no, he doesn't. He's fucking fine. Like, he's totally fine.
How boring.
He's like this little 60-year-old man who shits himself daily and lets us know when he needs to get fed. And he was a C-section baby. He came a full month early. He was pretty light, but he didn't have to go to the NICU. That's the intensive care unit for newborns. For those of you who don't know, and he was just fine. He's fine. He's like everything's fine. Every day he's fine. There's nothing going on where we're like, oh shit, we got to call the pediatrician at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's very boring. You're right. There's no funny stories. I mean, the biggest thing is like you'll sit there and you'll watch something on TV and it'll almost feel like normal life. And then this alarm clock that has drop kicked its way into your life will remind you that your time is in fact no longer your own. And that you got to clean shit off a tiny little ball sack. But that's it really. I mean, you know, you lose a couple hours of sleep at night. Again, I think I lucked out. I think we have it very easy compared to some other situations.
Do you remember the first drink you had after the kid? Like, what was it? Did you have like a beer in mind or a drink in mind that you're like, I'm going to drink this or crack this bottle open once the kid is here? Or was it just
I needed whiskey.
So you did a whiskey. Whiskey was the drink of choice after Jack was born.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really. I mean, we're down here in LA, and you know, the people who I know down here, like, I didn't call them to the hospital or anything like that. We literally had zero visitors the whole time. It was just me, my wife, and my kid in the hospital for 3 days, and then we got out. You know, there were messages and calls constantly. The phone would not fuck off for those 3 days straight. But we didn't see anybody. So it was basically, you know, my drugged out wife in the bed and my
for
half
new
drunk.
Listeners to the so, show, like, that's not a normal routine for Matt's wife. She was drugged out for the sake of birthing a child, just for clarification
right.
on all the new
Yeah,
listeners.
It wasn't like heroin or anything. Yeah. It was like morphine.
which is heroin. So,
she was zonked out, and then the baby, like, it's basically like a tiny drunkard. who just constantly passes out and then wakes up to eat and then passes out and then shits themselves.
Sounds like your kid to me.
Right, exactly. I knew it was, I was pretty happy to figure that out pretty early on, that it was in fact my child and not someone else's. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty isolating experience because I was the only one who wasn't all fucked up or tiny and new to this earth, or out of my mind on drugs. So, I think it was like the third night we were there. I opted to go pick up dinner for my wife and I. And this place that I found just within walking distance of the hospital had a bar. So I snuck a drink while I was waiting for my food.
I love that your wife has just gone through a very traumatic surgery on a baby that was born a little bit early. So there's concerns there, right? You got a 3-day-old baby. And Matt, dedication to the show. This is why you are the co-host here on Predictably Drunk. Decided to sneak out under the guise of getting quote unquote food and snuck in a whiskey drink. So what was the drink of choice? What was the whiskey that you actually jerkishly sucked down?
It was actually bourbon. It was Bullet. It was bourbon and Coke,
which is a type of whiskey. So
yeah,
good. So bourbon, Bullet bourbon is actually really a pretty good whiskey. I think that's a nice drink to have after your first child is born. Yeah, good. Congratulations. That's a good solid drink.
Then speaking of drinking, I think we should review drinks at this point. What I have in front of me is a very warm Deschutes Black Butte Porter. It was cold when I poured it like an hour ago, and then my goddamn kid started like crying and shit. So again, another lesson. Like, yeah,
learn to be British.
Learn to drink room temperature beer. Basically, I wish it was a Boddington's because I love me some Boddington's, but. It's not, and it would have been much better cold, but when duty calls, you got to hop too.
So you are drinking Deschutes Black Butte Porter. Didn't we review that before? Did you not
review
that?
Honestly, I'm not anymore because I got back and it was so warm that I'm just kind of staring at it now. So I poured myself a Scotch whiskey, and you're gonna balk at this, but this is a Scotch whiskey and vanilla Coke mix. It's Johnny Walker Black. And I think mixing Johnny Walker Black with any sort of regular cola, like just Coca-Cola regular, it's weird. You know, Johnny Walker Black's a lot different from other whiskeys. And the variable of vanilla in the Coke mixed with the variable that is Johnny Walker Black settles in very nicely. It's very tasty.
Yeah, I disagree with you. That actually sounds pretty good. I'm not a big fan of Johnny Walker in general. I've gotten through comedy a chance to have Johnny Walker Blue every now and then, which is great. Not that it's like a rare bird that you can't just go buy.
$600 a shot.
But it is pretty expensive. But an owner of this club in Carson City, actually the Carson Nugget in Carson City, Nevada, he owned the old casino, enjoyed me so much that he bought me a glass of it. So
nice.
But usually it's Johnny Walker Red, which I think is just it's horse shit as far as I'm concerned. So right. Johnny Walker Black's a step up from that. Yeah, I could see that with vanilla and Coke. That's a pretty good recommendation. So
Very tasty.
We're down on the warm Deschutes. Not good if it sits out for an hour. That's good to know. Actually, there are some drinks out there, like Firestone Walker's got a Parabola, I think it's called. If you pour it and then let it sit out for like 15-20 minutes, it's actually freaking heavenly, as opposed to just drinking it right away, because when it's too cold on that specific beer, there's basically the room temperature brings out the texture and the actual deliciousness of the beer, whereas when it's cold it's kind of like frozen, you know what I mean? So it's
what's the name of it? That sounds very interesting.
Parabola, I think it's called. Parabola. You can find it at most craft beer places. It comes in its own little box, which is kind of nice, a little numbered box.
Could it be Parabola?
That's probably it.
Okay.
I was probably saying it wrong. Although I was laughing the other day because I was looking at a Lagunitas and the way you said it, it's actually physically pronounced. They say, this is how you say it on the label. And I was like, I wanted to take a picture and send it to Matt and go back and listen to how stupid you sound.
Also, I said Dewars too.
You did say Dewars when it is Dewars, but is you know Dewars. What? That's okay. You're Canadian. You've got an accent. You know, I'm actually going to review. You know, we do mainly craft beer on here. Although Matt just went and did a little bit of Scotch whiskey there, which is fine. This is predictably drunk, not predictably beer. But I'm going to go with. I've been in Vegas a lot, as you know, here recently, Matt. I've made my debut at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas, and I've made a
couple.
Congratulations,
by the way.
Thank you. It was fantastic. I had a great time. Everybody down there, Harry, Basil, the Tommy Lama, who was on this show. Shout out to Tommy Lama, who was actually on the last episode of this great interview in the green room at the Laugh Factory. And I was drinking a lot of micheladas, which are basically some sort of tomato beer. And people don't like that, but you know what? This isn't a craft beer. I'm actually reviewing the Chelada Bud Light version. Okay, so Anheuser-Busch. Okay, I get it. Big corporate beer, Belgian-owned, not even American, even though they changed the name of Budweiser to America for this election cycle, which we'll talk about another time. But their Chelada in a can, 24 ounces of Bud Light, which is a nice light lager to go with the Clamato and everything else that they put into it is so goddamn good for breakfast, Matt. Like I can't even tell you how many of those I drank in Vegas over my last two trips, which I think spanned 5 days, and I probably averaged at least three of those a day. It's so good.
The vomit alone must have been horrifying.
No, there was no, well, there was vomit, but not because of that. But in terms of a hangover drink, it is so good. Like a lot of people say, hey, you got to drink out of a hangover. That's the best way. And I've never been able to do that. Like I just can't do it. Like if I'm hungover, the last thing I want to see is another alcoholic drink or food or people or sunlight or anything, right? Like I just leave me the fuck alone in a dark room and I never want to talk to you again. Quite honestly, the only two things that have ever gotten me out of it are basically a Bloody Mary or in this case, a Michelada, aka the Chelada. And they have different ones, right? Like they've got the Modelo, which is okay. They've got a Budweiser version, which is okay. But I'm specifically talking about the Bud Light and Clamato combination that they have that they call the Chelada. No, you were wrong. It is fantastic. And I applaud their efforts to mix this drink, this beer cocktail in a can and put it on every shelf in every major casino inside of Las Vegas, because that thing helped me out and kept me going when I should have otherwise just been miserable laying in bed hating life. So thank you.
I have to assume that at least some of our audience are not suicidal. So please explain to them the horrors of Clamato. What is Clamato made out of, Sam?
Clamato is clam juice and tomato juice combined, which sounds bad. And again, if you're drinking it by itself, it's not anything that I would necessarily recommend. But when you mix in a beer, even a shitty sort of lager like Bud Light, all of a sudden you've got yourself a miracle drug. And it'll get you up and get you out and drinking an actual beer or another shot or whatever it is you want to drink after two or three of those in the morning. It is fantastic. I give it my highest recommendation. And I don't do that for many things when it comes to beer, but I give it my highest recommendation, especially because it serves an exact purpose. It's basically marketed to, hey, are you feeling like shit? Drink this and you'll feel less like shit. And that's exactly what it does.
That's so upsetting.
So I'm upset. I have to give a positive review to an Anheuser-Busch product, but you know what? It's freaking good. And you know what? That is what is on tap here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be going to an interview here real quick with funny guy Noah Gain, who, Matt, do you know Noah Gain?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. Who is that person? I'm going to guess right now, comedian.
Yes, he is a comedian of sorts. He's a guy that I don't think anybody really knows outside of, you know, maybe five of us. And out of the five people that know him, I think three of them like him. So we talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk in Stupid Drunken News about the drunkest cities in the United States. The list is out, Matt. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to quiz you when we get to that portion of the show about what are the drunkest cities in the United States. We'll see.
I bet I can nail a few of them.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think it's as easy as you think it's going to be. And I think this is going to go for the audience. You guys can play along at home, too.
My living room.
But just to recap, Matt alone has brought Los Angeles into the top 20. But before we go to the interview, Matt, so what were you officially reviewing so I can put it in the notes? Are we reviewing Deschutes beer or are we reviewing the actual
genre? Well, have we done Deschutes before? We did. You know what we did? We did Deschutes Pine Drop IPA.
Yeah, you're right. We were on an Oregon kick for a while, so that's why I remember that. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. The Black Butte Porter, suggestion number one, drink it cold. It's a dark beer. It is a little heavier than, say, a Guinness, and but it's got it feels, you can really feel that fullness, not just in the viscosity of it, but the taste of it as well. It's got.
See, I think if you're describing your beer in oil terms, in car oil terms, it's probably not going to be good.
Well, it looks like car oil. It looks like motor oil. So it's very apt. It's very tasty. It's from Oregon. You can't go wrong, as we've said before. Deschutes, Black Butte, Porter.
There you go. Matt gives it a slight thumbs up. If it gets a little warm, though, throw that thing out and go get yourself Johnny Walker Black with the vanilla Coke.
I honestly just finished it too. It wasn't good, but I never said I wasn't going to finish it.
And just in terms of like talking about it, you moved on to something else, got a little bit of a buzz and went, yeah, I can deal with that one beer now.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There was just a buffer.
Meanwhile,
that's all I needed.
Meanwhile, you're shitting all over my pick of the Chelada Bud Light version with Clamato.
So gross.
It's good, man. I recommend it. If you guys like Bloody Marys, and you like beer, then you're gonna like.
Listen here, Mister. My wife is right here, and she loves Bloody Marys, and she will come down here and tell you about the fucking Chelada.
Yeah, well, look, I love your wife. She's awesome. She makes pretty good decisions most of the time, but she's also married to you, which means every now and then there's a chink in the armor.
Yeah,
so, you know, I'm not going to take Stacy's. By the way, Stacy should not be drinking. You guys have a small child at home. She's responsible for making sure her child doesn't get drunk.
That's the only way we're going to do this thing, Sam.
That's right.
Just hammered from fucking morning to night.
Hey, it works for me. In 2.5 years, your kid will just be biting people. That's what happens. So let's go on. Let's take you to the interview I did with Noah Gain. And there's a couple of special guests that drop in. This was actually recorded at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco in mid-July, about a week and a half ago from this recording right now. Kind of a quick interview. I just wanted to catch up with Noah a little bit because Noah and I have a little bit of a history, Matt. Noah's one of the young guns of comedy here in the Bay Area that I actually kind of had to roll up a newspaper and whack on the nose and tell him to stop doing certain things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Noah's kind of infiltrated his way into the little gang of people that I hang out with, the Kabir Singhs of the world, the Jeff Koenigs, Jeremy Curry for some inexplicable reason. I still hang out with that moron. And Noah's kind of become the official, I guess, fourth member of our little comedy troupe. And he's the youngest. He's in his mid-20s. And every now and then when you're young and you're in mid-20s, you do stupid things. So that's what this interview's about. So guys, enjoy that. And we'll be back after the interview. To wrap up and talk about the drunkest cities in the United States. So we are in a very busy green room at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, California. I see stars. I see Miles Weber, the winner of the 2015 San Francisco International Comedy Competition. In the other side of the green room, we have Kabir Singh, who was the winner of the 2014 San Francisco International Comedy Competition. Neither one of them is my guest at this time. In fact, I am stuck with Noah Gain, who has won nothing his entire
winner
life.
Winner of no comedy competitions of any year.
You actually put on your own comedy competition and came in third.
I did. And there was only one other comic.
Yeah.
So it's mystifying.
So it shows you how well this show is going, ladies and gentlemen. Here in Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, I was able to secure
one
Noah
of the stupidest
Gain.
People that you possibly could get.
So Noah Gain, for people that don't know Noah Gain, you're not alone. But number two, Noah's actually been a part of the group that I actually hang out with here in terms of comics. So people that know the show know Jeremy Curry, Kabir Singh, Jeff Koenig, who've all been on the show, as well as occasionally we get guest appearances from Abel Jaramillo. But Noah's kind of been the latest.
I'm the new pledge. The
you
new
are
pledge.
I think you're beyond pledge. So one of the things that's come up is Noah was kind of the pledge for a while. He was kind of the new recruit for the group. He's, I guess, proven himself.
I'm the only one who can legally drive, apparently.
Yeah, he gets us to all the places we need to go, which is great. And so Noah's here. We're actually going to get ready to go do Cobb's, one of the best comedy clubs here in Northern California. Actually,
amazing
kind of
green
States.
Room. Miss Pac-Man arcade cabinet. We have mini golf in the back, putting green. Alcohol out the wazoo. Like, well, you know, any time you go with...
This is predictably drunk. They,
yes.
they assume there's going to be alcohol involved, but you're right. We're actually drinking Koenig Pilsners, yes. Speaking of Jeff Koenig, which is a little bit weird.
I put a picture of him on Facebook, a Koenig with a Koenig.
There you go, ladies
and gentlemen.
If that's
not poetic justice, then he's just an alcoholic.
That's probably true. But this green room here, I've done podcasts from here before, and it always gets better. So we have two putting greens here. We have Miss Pac-Man. That wasn't here the last time.
We even have a woman in the green room.
We have a woman, another fellow comedian, yeah. Florentina.
Well, actually, to be fair, she's a woman comedian. She has a vagina. Give it up, everybody.
Now you understand why nobody knows Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get Noah back places.
You have your own podcast called The Shane and Gain.
The Shane and Gain podcast. What we do is pretty much the same thing as every other comedy podcast out there.
Including this one.
We're going to be edgy. We're going to bring on a guest. We're going to talk about real things. So how's the show? You ever date anybody?
Yeah.
Edgy.
Yeah. No. I hear it's on iTunes and all that fun stuff.
We're on
stuff.
iTunes, yeah. The Shane and Gain. It's me and my friend Trevor Shane Rogers. He's a regular host at Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Another comedy club here in the Bay
Another
Area.
Another comedy club. Great comedy club.
Yep. So you guys do that, but you got into comedy about 3 years ago, correct?
I got into comedy, so in my last semester of college, I was just about to graduate. Where'd you go to college? I went to college at Chico State.
So you were drunk your entire time in college?
No, I remember graduating.
Really?
Well, I remember my parents waking me up.
You remember stumbling around in a skirt. I don't know if that was necessarily graduating.
Well, I wasn't drunk then. I was just stumbling in a skirt.
That's what you did.
Well, you know, we all did that for like 7 years.
Sure.
But no, I went to Chico State, and after that, I had tried comedy a couple times. The first show I ever had was at a fundraiser for a battered women's underprivileged women's fundraiser.
Sounds hilarious.
300 people.
Wow.
And they're like, we need an experienced comedian with club experience. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
So you lied.
Oh,
so
yeah, no.
Your first time getting on stage, you lied about your experience. They didn't fact check at all?
No. And if those women didn't feel abused before, certainly after my set they did. It was 8 minutes of oof, which is like my set now, but 10 minutes of oof now.
The good thing about the abused women, though, is they left, but they came back eventually.
Yes.
So it was fine.
Yeah. It was fun. And then after I graduated college, for the first 6 months, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a place to live. So I slept out of my car, and I just did comedy for 6 months straight.
So you were the quintessential comedian. You were a homeless person telling jokes, doing it for the love of the game, trying to get where you're at. So now you have a home.
Yes.
So you're successful.
Not in comedy, but in having a place to live.
You have a place to live, which is great.
Yes.
You're here in the green room of Cobb's Comedy Club. You could be doing worse.
And let me tell you, for any aspiring comedians, the way to make it big is just not get pulled over for a DUI. Just make sure all the good comedians you know do.
Literally earlier today, speaking of that, I was pulled over. I was leaving a bar. I was having a couple of drinks. I was pre-gaming, if you will. And I was actually going to Noah Gay's house. I was by myself.
Okay, so good. That's healthy. That's healthy behavior.
Yes, exactly. And I was at a sports bar by myself on a Sunday where there were no sports going on. I don't even know why they were open. It's really their fault. But I had two beers and a shot, and I leave the bar. And I get pulled over immediately. And I was freaking out because I'm like, okay, I have this big show here in Cobbs in San Francisco. I'm getting pulled over. Jeremy Curry is joining us.
Did you beat my 98,000?
I stopped to play or to do this.
Get the fuck out of here, Jeremy. Sorry. Jesus Christ. Every time I do a podcast,
it's going
like,
to be
Jeremy
so sad to see Jeremy drop out of comedy in the next 2 weeks.
No, it's not. It's going to be amazing. We are doing a podcast, yeah, Jeff. Nice. We were talking about you. Jeff Koenig is here drinking
this
a Koenig.
You know, this is just how it is. Like, really my role in the group. Whenever I start going, we always have people interrupt, and we got Jeff coming in, double fisting a blue.
What Noah doesn't know is that
I wish I could edit you out of my life. I actually texted all of them and said, show up
7 minutes into the podcast, just show up because it's going to go poorly. Just show up and interrupt. No, Jeff Koenig is here wearing his normal outfit, looking like he came from Walmart or something.
Looking like he just beat the rape conviction.
Yeah. What is that on your face? It's like a goatee, but it's not completely connected on like the left-hand side of your face.
It won't connect to his ear because of guilt.
it's like somebody's going to have to jump over that lake between your mustache and your goatee in order to actually connect that.
You know, they say that a goatee won't connect if you have a murderous intent.
Oh, Jeff Koenig is by far a psychopath. Yeah.
His webpage is www.JonBenetRamsey.com.
Let me actually give the microphone to Jeff. You have been very hard on Jeremy Curry this week, Jeff Koenig. Just real quick, this is Noah's interview, but real quick, why are you so upset with Jeremy Curry right now?
I did him a favor,
and that favor was
I lent him $50.
You lent him 550.
Yep, on Friday he said he was going to pay me back on Wednesday.
Okay, so he's Pee-wee from Popeye.
Yeah.
I will give you a burger today for a dollar tomorrow, whatever the case that was.
And then now he just ignores my calls and won't pay me back.
So Jeremy Curry owes you money, essentially.
Yeah. And it's not really about the money. It's just more like it's annoying that he would, you know, say something and then just not do it.
So you're shocked that you gave Jeremy Curry cash and he did not pay you back?
Yes.
Can you give
I'm not shocked.
Can you give the mic back to Noah?
Yeah.
Just real quick. Thank you, Jeff. So, Noah, you had an issue here recently where you tried to go to the gym. You could not go to the gym because your bill was not paid.
So I am on Jeremy's gym plan, his 24-hour fitness plan. And so, you know, I have to pay $45 a month so I can be on his plan. It was like, you know, it worked out well. The first month went great. I paid all my stuff. He was there.
And you're an in-shape guy. You actually go to the gym.
I dabble with gymmery.
Yeah.
And the second month, I gave Jeremy my $60.
So you gave, much like Jeff, you gave money, actual cash, to Jeremy Curry.
Yep, and I didn't have a gym membership for about a week.
And why? And why was that?
Apparently, he got food poisoning from eating salad. So the first time he ever tried a vegetable, I'm dying. I'm going down.
He had a green thing that was not marijuana, and he ended up in the hospital.
Oh my gosh, they had to take it out of him rectally.
Wow. That's shocking. I did not know that. He did not post that on Facebook.
Well, you know, you can't post anything about the guy.
So both Jeff and Noah, who you've heard here on Predictably Drunk,
we're victims.
Both gave money to... No, you're not victims. You guys are idiots. You gave money to Jeremy Curry and are now shocked that you have not gotten your money or goods and services back. That says more about you than it does Jeremy Curry.
I'm disappointed. I'm just stupid. That was my problem. I was stupid. I was a fool to think that he would ever...
So, Noah, you're here with me. This is the second day in a row.
We had a good time hanging out yesterday.
We had a good time hanging out.
We had a great time hanging out.
If you're longtime listeners of this podcast or Kabir's podcast, you know that I'm not necessarily – I've been on the fence about Noah Gain. I'm not sure if I'm friends with Noah or not. We had a good day yesterday.
We had a great day. I thought we were friends.
We traveled. No, I guess I think we are.
Now I feel like you're David Letterman. I'm every guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't like guests.
So the thing about Noah took a picture of me one time at the San Jose Improv and sent it to my girlfriend without my permission, which I was doing nothing wrong, you would admit, as such. I was sitting
wrong
on the couch drinking a beer, but I've been roasting you for close to a year now.
So here's why I sent it. It's because she got brought up in casual conversation. I'm like, oh, I'll just send a picture of Sam, like, you know, kind of say like, hey, look at I'm hanging out with your boyfriend. Like, you know, we're having a good time, blah, blah, blah. And then Sam took it the way where he thought that I was trying to get him in trouble. And it was before the D'Angelo Russell situation, I believe.
So those that don't follow the NBA, D'Angelo Russell, I'm sure you've heard, secretly recorded Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P, who was engaged to...
Iggy Azalea.
And he recorded Swaggy P admitting to all of these issues that he was having outside of his relationship, which I was not doing, obviously, because my girlfriend listens to this. That is, even if she wasn't, that, you know, is the case. But you took a picture of me, sent it to my girlfriend without my permission, and I pretty much skewered you for it.
Yes.
Said, like, what the hell are you doing? And it had nothing to do with that situation that the Swaggy P thing did. It was just, don't send pictures of my girlfriend, or to my girlfriend, of me without my express written consent. So a couple weeks after that happened, the whole D'Angelo Russell thing for the Los Angeles Lakers breaks free, and voila, Noah gets a new nickname of D'Angelo.
I was hoping it was because of all my assists at the gym.
No.
Playing basketball.
It absolutely has to do with the fact that you double-crossed your friend, and that's not good.
Well, I didn't feel it was double-crossing. You took it that way.
No, here's the thing. What you did wasn't a big issue, but you have to over...
Oh, I mean, it was an error in judgment.
Yes,
it was poor
and you
judgment.
Can't just say, hey, no, don't do that because you're not going to learn if I do that. The proper way to handle something like that is to overreact
for six months. That's how you do it with Jeff. That's how you teach Jeff how to do
something.
But I've
been around Jeff longer, so that's what I know. That's my learned behavior.
That's true.
But what I know is that I have to overreact to the smallest of egregiances here and make sure that you know from here on out you are not allowed to take pictures of me without me writing something in blood. And now you know, though.
Oh, I definitely know.
Yeah, so we're fine.
Yes.
We're fine. So what are you drinking right now?
Oh, I don't drink.
You're drinking America.
I'm drinking America out of a can.
So you're drinking a Budweiser tall can.
Isn't Budweiser owned by a German company now? No, they got bought out by a German company.
As the host of Predictably Drunk, I should probably know that, but I have no fucking clue.
Oh, my goodness. I can hear the sponsors fleeing already.
Yes, Amazon.com. Please don't take your sponsorship money away from me. By the way, if you are going to do your shopping, go to PredictablyDrunk.com, click on the Amazon link, and do all your shopping. No hidden fees, no hidden charges. You're welcome. Okay, now that that commercial's out of the way, yes, we are drinking America out of a can. They actually changed
wait,
the
wait.
Name
wait. What about yesterday? What about our show yesterday?
I was getting to that, actually. Oh, okay. So Noah was actually kind of funny. So we did a fundraiser for something.
Chelsea Beers, who's...
We didn't do it for Chelsea Beers.
No, but Chelsea Beers was the host. She put this whole fundraiser together.
Yes, the great Chelsea Beers, who actually did the podcast here in Cobb's Comedy Club in the green room previously. So if you guys are longtime listeners of this show, you know exactly where we're at right now. But yes, Chelsea Beers, you're right, put together this fundraiser. We had about 100 people in the audience. We had a great fundraiser for the Benicia Theater.
And Chelsea, who's better than Chelsea? Nice, funny...
Nothing.
Black.
Chelsea's great.
Like, that's the only, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and move on past that. But you were drinking yesterday, and one of the things that was funny to me is you did a 25-minute set.
Yes.
You've been doing comedy 3 years.
3 years, and I have about 6 minutes I like.
So three years in the comedy game, 6 minutes of material. You are absolutely ahead of the game, sir.
I was freaking out, too, before the show. 3 minutes. I was like the whole way up. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fill this time. I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought I was going to have to dance. Like,
Noah was a little bit freaked out. You were kind of like, I was trying to just have small talk with you, and you could tell you were a little bit nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll give you credit. You did about 6 minutes of material, just like you said, but you did 19 minutes of crowd work.
No, I didn't do 19 minutes. I did probably 2 minutes of crowd work.
No, you did way more than that.
Okay, I probably did four, but I did mostly material. I did a lot of material.
Did
I listened to it today.
Were you happy? So you recorded your set?
Yeah.
You were happy with it?
No, but...
Why not? It was a good set. I thought you did really well.
It was a decent... Oh, jeez. Jeff is freaking out. He's looking in the mirror at his beard. He's like, why isn't my beard connecting?
Yeah, Jeff is now at a...
Well, you know what they say? Like, you lose a hair for every child you touch.
There it is. See, Jeff?
No, but I was a little bit... No, I did mostly material, though. It was a lot of one-liners and a lot of short jokes. But
you do
a
lot of non-sequitur type stuff. But you know what's good about that type of comedy is that people will leave and go repeat your jokes. Like, you will live on, even if you never have kids, because you're sterile, as you told
yes,
me yesterday.
Yes, I am.
So how did you find that out? Like, you went to the hospital and what
well,
happened?
Well, you can tell by the taste.
So you were just every night like, yep, almost, and then the next day like, nope, sterile now.
No, I went to a doctor and I got a checkup.
Well, did you go specifically for that?
No, but I'm like, hey, I'm here. Why don't you,
So you're 26 years old.
Yes.
When did you go to the doctor to get this checkup?
Oh, this had to be like a year or two ago.
Okay, so 24, 25, you're doing annual checkups in your 20s?
Turns out you can't have kids if you if the doctor chops off your junk with a butcher knife.
Is that what happened? The dick is missing.
I'm completely sterile.
Yeah, you're sterile. You're sterile not by choice. So you're sterile. So you went in for a normal checkup, decided while you were there, hey, why don't you go ahead and check and see if I can ever have kids?
No.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
So why?
And
I was
ecstatic to hear it, but not the girl that I got pregnant.
Yeah,
she's furious.
She didn't believe it at all. So why would you decide to have that checked as well?
I just never wanted kids. I never wanted kids, and I figured, you know what? Let's see if I can. And it's like, God bless me with the inability to pass on my seed.
So this is either true or this is like your pickup line to try to raw dog as many women as you possibly can.
Well, you know, in fact, being sterile does not prevent STDs from happening.
I gave him my pickup.
What's your pickup line, Jeff?
Jeff's pickup line?
Here, hold on.
This is Jeff Koenig again giving us a pickup line.
The one from POF.
What is that?
It says, it's just a thing I copy and paste to everyone. And it says, hey, how are you doing? You're really pretty. I like your profile. What are you up to this week? Very simple.
Give the mic back to Noah immediately. That was terrible.
And it never
Jeff
worked.
Koenig, ladies
it
and gentlemen.
It never worked.
No.
It worked for me. I fucked hella bitches.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Koenig fucked hella bitches on POF.
Like four.
I've actually seen your dick. It's very red. Why is your...
That was the lighting.
Your dick...
It's because there's a lot of anger in
Yeah,
there.
There's a lot of anger lot in of that anger. Dick. A lot of hate fucking going on with Jeff Koenig and his dick.
Well, plus it's because if you do something in like a smaller hole, a lot of the pressure. So when he's like banging those 8-year-olds...
Wow.
He's like... That's the problem. The only way he can get a hard on is like, don't kill me!
So here's the thing that goes on. It's kind of interesting with Jeff and Noah. You guys have an interesting dynamic. You guys do a lot of the same functions within our group. So you guys have a kind of a head on.
I just do them sober.
Yeah. Well, that's different. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. Noah, what do you want to plug before we decide to go on stage here?
I'm going to be at the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz. Let me take a look. I believe it's August 14th. I just want to double check.
Crow's Nest is a great place to do comedy.
Crow's Nest is fantastic. I hosted a couple months ago for Ian Harris out of Los Angeles, and Matt Gubser featured.
Yep. The great Matt Gubser, been a guest on this show.
And I'm going to be Dan St. Paul is going to be headlining it August 14th.
Dan St. Paul is going to be headlining August 14th,
have you seen
Sunday
him?
Night at the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz.
Have you seen him?
I have.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
So check it out. Go there, Santa Cruz Crow's Nest. If you go there, there for the weekend. It's the summertime. You get to see Noah Gain.
And I'll also be at Tommy T's and Rancho the 29th, 30th, 31st, hosting for Kabir Singh.
Kabir Kabizi Singh at Tommy T's and Rancho Cordova, right? Isn't that right?
We're going to Rancho.
Well done. Excellent. There's Kabir Singh right there. Well, no, thank you very much. I don't know what we learned here in the 20 minutes that we were sitting here talking, other than the fact that you're sterile. You lied to get into comedy, which means you're going to go far.
Yes.
And you're drinking America in a can right now.
I think we learned there's nothing good about me so far.
No, Noah's actually a pretty good guy.
I'm a great guy.
Considered. He's now good. I don't know about great.
Online.
But you did drive us here in one piece, so
I did.
That got you from okay to good.
And I provided a lot of alcohol for you gentlemen.
You did. In fact, I need to shut up and so we can go drink and then go do our 10 minutes of fury on stage. And,
yes, and you're going to have to listen for Samson coming on the Shane and Gain podcast. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that is true. You've invited me to your podcast multiple times.
And he's refused.
I have not refused. I've just politely declined.
I have a daughter.
Yeah, the daughter gets in the way. That's true. You guys record on a Monday. I can't do that shit.
Well, we record whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's just record it whenever when it's not a Monday, and I should be fine.
All right. So, well, hey, thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on the show. Noah Gain, everybody. August 14th at the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
And then Rancho
Cordova,
Tommy T's.
July 29th, 30th, 31st, hosting for Kabir Singh.
29th, 30th, 31st. If you guys are listening to this, go get tickets right now. And then you can find him on iTunes with the Shane and Gain podcast. He's the co-host of that. Noah Gain, everybody.
And there it was, Matt. That is Noah Gain. You've never heard of him before, but now you've spent 20 minutes getting to know Mr. Noah Gain. This interview was actually... Man,
20 minutes too long. Yeah. Thank God that's over.
Yeah, thank God Jeff Koenig came in middle of that interview.
Oh,
and,
fucking way to make
a
car fire worse.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Koenig's one of those guys where, like, he jumps in and usually, like, oh, God damn it, Jeff. But when Jeff jumps in during a Noah Gain interview, you're kind of like, oh, God damn it, Jeff, thank you. So shows you where Noah Gain's place is in life, I suppose. This interview, man, I had to tell you. So I'm in the green room as we're doing the showcase at Cobb's. And Miles Weber, the 2015 San Francisco International Comedy Competition winner, was there.
Yeah.
Kasim Bentley, who is a legend in the Bay Area comedy scene, is there. You've got Jeremy Curry, who's always good for a laugh or two, you know, since he's such a maniac. He's in there. Kabir Singh from Family Guy just got signed to NBC with the new holding deals. Congrats to Kabir. He's in there. And I've got this podcast that they all know that I do, and some of them have been on the show before, and I throw it out there, and a couple other comedians, and I just kind of say, all right, who wants to do a quick little interview for my show? And they all kind of looked at me like, no.
No.
And then the only person that said anything other than that was Noah, and I'm like, well, shit, I guess I got to interview Noah now. So big props to Noah. He was actually really funny that night. He hosted that night of comedy with all those heavy hitters, so it was a lot of good comics plus Noah. Right. Apparently Matt's
thank
not a
you
fan.
For doing that interview, yeah. Noah, that was very nice of you, regardless of how it turned out.
He tried so hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of trying so hard, I am looking at the list of the top 20 most drunken cities.
There's fucking 20 of them.
There's more than 20, but there's 20. This list is 20. We're not going to go through all 20, but I'm going to explain this list real quick. First of all, this came out in late May, Matt, and I'm always interested in like what their metric is for this type of stuff. So basically, this is based on a poll that they did of all these cities, I guess, nationwide, and their own admittance to what they consider heavy drinking and doing it consistently, meaning they went to however many people they went to and said, do you drink? Yes. Do you drink heavily? Yes. And then they started compiling the numbers and kind of figured out that there's a lot of self-admitted alcoholics. Now, here's my thing. We all have a governor on ourselves when we say, oh, I didn't drink that much, even though everyone else in the room's like, dude, you drank that entire bottle, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like these numbers are skewed downwards from what they actually are. And these numbers are kind of alarming. So I'm gonna go through some of these. Now, this is in the United States. Now, when you think of the United States in terms of the top drinking cities, I know what I immediately go towards. I kind of think of big cities, right? Like you think San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, and places like that. And those are...
Oh, is this comprised of like little shit college towns or what?
Well, see, college towns are another thing that you would think of, right? Because there's a lot of drinking, there's college, there's, you know, that whole atmosphere of being on a big campus or things of that nature. So that's another thing that I think people generally go towards. I think we're overlooking.
Because I think geographically, like the thing you were saying before, where you kind of govern down what you're being honest about in terms of what you drank, geographically, sometimes that there's a difference there, because I would say people in New York don't give a shit what you think and will tell you straight up that they, you know, they drank a gallon of fucking gasoline the other night, you know?
Yeah.
No. But I, you know, New York is a pretty broad thing, and it sounds like you're saying that these are smaller podunk towns that nobody's possibly ever heard of in like Arkansas. Is Arkansas on the list?
You know what? I'm not saying anything other than say, well, no, Arkansas, right. Arkansas is not necessarily on there. Well, I will say, I'll give you an example. Corvallis, Oregon. Okay. That's where Oregon State
is. What the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Well, that's where Oregon State is. Big,
that's
major.
That's not a place.
Yes, it is. It's the 20th most drunken city in the United States. Corvallis, Oregon. 23.2% of all residents of Corvallis, Oregon admit to drinking heavily. Okay. So that's roughly a quarter of that entire city, which is a big major college town, to your point.
I'm not going to do well at this. This is not going to go well.
So that's the kind of stuff.
How do we want to do this?
Well, I don't want to go through all 20 because I could just rapid fire them, but I want to get to the top 10 because there's definitely a trend once you get into the top 10 that I think is definitely something I did not think of. So let me just plow through from 20 to 11 here. So number 20, Corvallis, Oregon. Number 19, Iowa City, Iowa. Number 18, Lincoln, Nebraska, another big college town, to your point.
Yeah,
number 17, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which makes a whole lot of sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Huge.
Number 16, Janesville, Wisconsin. Never even heard of it. Number 15, Racine, Wisconsin.
It's made up too.
Number 14, Grand Forks, North Dakota. I feel like there's a lot of Indians there, right? Like Native Americans, they probably drink the fire water and all that shit because it's North Dakota.
Fork, like the utensil?
Grand Forks, yes. It's a place. Big Forks. Right. Like, you know, it's like a big fork. It's a Grand Fork. Number 13, Missoula, Montana. Now that surprises me because I've been to Missoula, Montana, and there's really no way in or out of there other than just like to fall out of a fucking airplane. So I don't know how they're getting their alcohol other than if they're making it themselves in bathtubs, but they're number 13 on the list. Number 12.
It sounds like somebody was writing something on a letter to somebody and they were addressing it to Missouri and just fucked up the spelling.
Yeah,
Missoula, like Montana.
They had a stroke somewhere in the middle of it. Yes. Number 12, Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, that's fine with me. I can
number 11.
That.
I don't even know if I can pronounce this down.
Oh, God.
Wausau, Wisconsin. W-A-U-S-A-U.
Fuck's going on with Wisconsin, man?
Okay, so you're picking up on a trend here that I would have never thought about. And then we're going to go into the top 10. Okay, so we've basically spent our entire time on the bottom half of this in the Midwest. Would you not agree with that? We've got a lot of Wisconsin. We've got North Dakota, Montana. We had one Oregon, Iowa, which is like pretty much the heart of the Midwest. But now we're getting the top 10. So all of those horseshit flyover cities don't matter anymore, right? So once we get in the top 10, and by the way, once we get in the top 10, just assume that everybody is at least 25% just raging alcoholics in terms of their own admittance here. So just so everybody knows. Yeah. Number 10, where would you think number 10 of the most drunken places in the United States would be, Matt?
I mean, I can't guess by I think I should just throw out some cities that I think might be on this top 10 list.
Yeah, why don't we tell me? That's better. Why don't we throw out some cities and I'll tell you yes or no. And then when you're done being wrong, I will I'll just fire off the rest of them. That's a good idea. Let's do that.
Fair enough. Okay. So Boston, Massachusetts.
Nowhere on this list.
Okay, because I've been there and people love to fucking drink there.
I agree with you. I think Boston, you know, Boston's got a reputation for being a heavy drinking town, but it's not one of the most drunken cities in the United States.
How about Denver, Colorado?
Denver, Colorado would probably be in the top 10 when we're talking about marijuana, but in terms of drinking, not on this list.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon would have been my guess for the top 5. Nowhere on this list.
Las Vegas better be on that goddamn list.
Now, Las Vegas was on my short list to be on number one or number two on this list, but it I think that one gets skewed because it's a lot of visitors going to Las Vegas as opposed to residents.
It's like locals.
And technically, Las Vegas isn't a big city because it's Paradise and Henderson and all the different stupid cities around it. But yeah, you're right. It's not on this list, and you would think it would be. I mean, logic tells you Las Vegas would be on this list.
How many more Wisconsins are on the top 10? Is there like six more?
There's seven cities in Wisconsin that are in the top 10.
There's no fucking way, really.
I didn't even know there were seven cities in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, period. Holy shit. No, I'm not going to know. I'm not going to know any of these. Then you can just rattle them off.
Let's just fire these off. If I could get Ross Baker to give me a countdown, we'll start firing some of these off. Number 10, Mankato, North Mankato, Minnesota.
Okay.
Now, the only reason I know of that city is I believe it's near Lake Minnetonka, which is famous for the Minnesota Vikings hiring a bunch of hookers and going out on a boat and then having sex with these hookers and drinking like crazy, which apparently is what happens in this town because they're top 10 in the United States, Mankato / North Mankato, Minnesota.
I wish this list came with an explanation, like why Mankato. Like what is causing that place that no one's ever heard of to be a top 10 drunkest city in the country?
I have a theory on this that we'll get to here once we run through all these. And I think I'm right because, you know, I'm smart. But sure. Number 9, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Never heard of it. I assume that they're eating cheese, but apparently they're drinking wine and beer and everything else. Number 8, Ames, Iowa. Now, that makes sense to me. Ames is kind of a bigger city in Iowa. Iowa's in the Midwest, not too far from Chicago, not too far from some other big cities. I could understand Ames, Iowa being there. I think there's a college near there, too. Number 7.
Is New Orleans on there?
New Orleans is not on this list.
What the fuck is happening? Okay, go 7. Yeah. Sorry.
Number 7. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Fond du Lac is a made-up place for sure.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like this is a place that I ever want to be in my life, but apparently it's the 7th most drunken city in the United States. Number 6, La Crosse, Onalaska, Wisconsin. Enough said. Fair enough. Number 5, we're now into some cities. You're going to hear, you know these cities. You know some of these cities.
Okay, because listen, you just said fucking 8 words for one city on the last one.
Wisconsin, apparently when Wisconsin was naming cities, all the other names were taken. So they got random letters together and just came up with some new shit.
Sport on a State, Wisconsin. That's basically the fucking name. La Crosse on Alaska, that's really the thing. Come on.
It's a hyphenated name, but yes, that is the name of the city here.
Okay.
Number 5, Fargo, North Dakota. So you've heard of Fargo.
That's a movie and a show.
And it's based on Fargo, North Dakota. And I read a stat that 40% of all the deaths in Fargo, North Dakota are from alcohol-related injuries.
Wow.
So not only are they drinking heavily there, they're just killing each other in Fargo, North Dakota, beyond what you see in the movies. So Fargo, North Dakota made the top 5. Congratulations, North Dakota. You're now in the top 5 for the first time in your life on anything that has to do with states. Number 4, Madison, Wisconsin. That makes a lot of sense to me if we're talking about Wisconsin, because Madison is where the big college is. Okay, so that would make sense why Madison, Wisconsin would be number 4. Number 3, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay. So
Packers play there, big sports town.
Sure.
There's two things to do in Green Bay. Watch Packers and drink beer, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Number 2.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Fucking Wisconsin, dude. What the I think we could do a whole new podcast episode on what exactly is happening with Wisconsin and why it's happening. I'm mortified that the entire state of Wisconsin is fucking constantly hammered.
I'm telling you right now, Matt, fuck a podcast. What we're doing is we're going to make a documentary on what the fuck is going on in Wisconsin. We're going to take your movie background with our drinking background and come up with some sort of hour and a half long documentary on what is wrong with Wisconsin.
That's fascinating. I'm down. Let's do this.
And speaking of which, the most dangerous city to drive a car in, number 1 on this list in 2016 of most drunken cities in the United States is Appleton, Wisconsin. So congratulations, Wisconsin. You guys are another level of drunk, man. I don't even know what is going on in that. Like you said, what is going on in Wisconsin? I have no idea other than they don't remember whatever it is that's going on because they're in a blackout rage.
Now, I'd be curious if I wasn't if I cared enough to look on a map or whatever, but I'm just speaking out loud curious if these places in Wisconsin are all clustered together or not, or if they're just way spread out.
Now here, that's a great question. I don't know either. I should probably look that up if I were, a better host, but I'm not.
Yeah, you don't care either.
But here's my theory. Here's my theory looking at this. okay, you go to San Francisco. What is there to do in San Francisco, Matt? Like, when you go to San Francisco,
if tons of stuff. Like, you can smoke weed and eat French bread, sourdough bread. You can edit that out. And eat clam chowder. And
okay, you're a fat pothead. What I'm talking about is you can go, you can go across the Golden Gate Bridge. You can go to a baseball game. You have culture. You have the Gold Rush history. You have all of this stuff. You have museums. You have all of this shit that you can do. You can go to Los Angeles and go to Disneyland, which is, I know, in a different county. You idiots. I'm aware of it. I'm talking about the greater Los Angeles area.
Okay, sure.
You've got, again, baseball games, football games now, basketball games, hockey games, very, very good hockey games in Los Angeles. You can go to Las Vegas and go to the Strip. You can gamble. You can do all this. And you go to New York and see 87 million tourist attractions.
Sure, sure.
What
What's
can
your
you
point?
Do when you go to Appleton, Wisconsin?
Fucking kill yourself.
You can drink. That's the only entertainment that a lot of these – that's the common denominator that I'm seeing on like 15 of these 20 states, cities, is that there's not a whole lot to do, at least that comes to mind when you go to these smaller cities though. Yeah, you get a big butt. It's cheese and beer.
No, I mean the butt being like butt, comma, there are shit tons of other places like that in the country where what do you do when you get to blank? Like the entire state of Idaho. What the fuck do you do in Idaho? That's kind of a big state, too. Like, why isn't Idaho on this list?
Well, I mean, Idaho, Idaho's got that very skinny part. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, when they drink, they fall into Washington or fall over to Montana. I mean, that, so they're a part of those
cities.
They
trip and fall and they're no longer in Idaho. Correct. Because of that really skinny part. Okay.
Correct. And I don't think this is just sheer volume of people, because ultimately that's going to go to where the people are: New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Vegas, New Orleans, to your point. But this is based on the percentage of people who are heavy day-to-day drinkers. And if I lived in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, number 7 on this list,
I'm probably
waking up drinking those delicious chiladas that I was talking about earlier in this podcast and then molding right into whatever beer, you know, stupid, horrible beer that they drink. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, these are the people that drink Budweiser all day. These are the people that drink Miller Lite. You know what I mean? Like, these are the people that drink the shit beer that America, well, at least America, used to just pump out, and they don't have, you know, craft beer necessarily. Now, I might be selling people short, you know, in the great city of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Maybe they've got some craft beer there. But my point is, outside of
Green
Bay,
we just lost every single Appleton, Wisconsin fucking listener that we've ever had. Searches, just right down the tubes.
Searches for Appleton, Wisconsin are through the roof based on this podcast, so they can eat a dick, which is, goes very well with the shit beer that they've been drinking. Because the thing is, like, I think that's what's going on in Wisconsin. Is there's just nothing else to do. So they get up and they put on their overalls. They look over at their fat, disgusting wife that, you know, was prom queen 75 years before. And then they're just like, you know what? I'm going to drink until tomorrow happens. And then tomorrow happens, and then they just repeat.
We can't go to Wisconsin to film this documentary now. Everybody's going to want to fucking lynch us because of what you just said.
Oh, something tells me they're lynching a lot of people in Wisconsin. Okay, well, maybe we've gone too far. That's more of a Nebraska thing anyways. So that is the stupid drunken news. I thought it was kind of interesting to see how many cities are on this list from Wisconsin specifically. I mean,
that's a very scary, alarming amount. Wisconsin, fucking do something about this. This is horrible. Turn it around.
12 of the 20 most drunken cities in the United States are in Wisconsin.
This is it's alarming. This is eyebrow raising. You should really, really consider doing something about this.
I mean, if nothing else, this is our target demographic, right? I mean, these people are literally predictably drunk. I mean, they can just throw a dart and hit a drunk person there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's disturbing. Well, shit. I think we're about at capacity here.
Yeah, I think we got to go drink a couple more warm beers and chiladas to catch up to the great people of Wisconsin here. So we should probably bid adieu. But before we do that, I should mention that you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just look for Predictably Drunk. Just search for that. Go ahead and subscribe. to Predictably Drunk. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Helps out the show. Gets this podcast to more listeners. And since you like us so much, why would you not want to share us with more people? You can find the entire catalog on PredictablyDrunk.com as well as my comedy tour dates. You can also go to Amazon.com through PredictablyDrunk.com and do all of your shopping like you do day to day. And that helps out the show. Helps you out because of all your shit. It doesn't give you any extra fees or anything. They just give us a couple of bucks because we reminded you to go buy something that you otherwise probably don't need. What else? What else, Matt? You got anything you want to plug?
Nope. Not a damn thing.
Yeah, I'll also plug the Shane and Gain podcast, which is Noah Gain's podcast. He does like one every 7 months, so we can mock him for being so inconsistent, Matt, even though you and I haven't talked in like 3 years.
Shout out to Ross Baker and his fucking weirdness.
Yeah, hey, Ross Baker. You can find Ross Baker apparently at jazz bars all over the country. And other than that, this is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. Matt, congratulations again on the new child.
Thank you, sir.
And until next time, keep drinking.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on PredictablyDrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking.
Passenger, that's parasitic. I don't think that anyone will.